Morning, and turn to the book of Luke, and we're going to be looking at the last of the seven sayings on the cross this morning. And there was an Irishman, he was in a wheelchair, and he entered a restaurant one afternoon and asked the waitress for a cup of coffee. The Irishman looked across the restaurant and asked, "Is that not Jesus sitting on the other side over there?" The waitress nodded and said, "Yes." So the Irishman told her to give him a cup of coffee. The next patron that came in was an Englishman with a hunchback. He had shuffled over to a booth, painfully sat down, and asked the waitress for a cup of coffee or a hot cup of tea. And he also glanced across and he asked, "Is that not Jesus over there?" And the waitress nodded, and so the Englishman said, "Would you give him a cup of hot tea on me?" The third patron that came into the restaurant was a redneck who was on crutches. He hobbled over to the booth, sat down, and hollered, "Hey there, you know, how about getting me a cold glass of root beer?" He too looked across the restaurant and asked, Is that Jesus over there?" And the waitress nodded. So the redneck said, "Well, would you send him over a glass of root beer as well?" Well, Jesus got up and he left. And as he passed the Irishman, he touched him and he said, "For your kindness, you're healed." The Irishman felt the strength come back to his legs. He got up and he ran out the door. Jesus also passed by the Englishman, touched him and said, "For your kindness, you are healed." And the Englishman felt his back straighten up. He raised up his head and praised God and did a couple backflips out the door. Jesus walked towards the redneck, and the redneck looked panicked and yelled, "Hey, don't touch me. I'm on disability." We've got one of those. Okay, all right. The seven sayings, if we think about the good hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seven sayings are the last sayings, but they're not the least sayings. And the seventh saying, the last saying, is certainly not the least of the seven sayings either. When we think about this final saying of Christ on the cross, it is most likely have been said or spoken within moments of the previous saying when Christ said, "It is finished," or "paid in full," as we saw last week. It may have been spoken with the very next breath that he took. Both instances, "It is finished," and the one we will see today, both end with Christ dying. So we know that they were spoken probably within a moment, if not the very next breath. We don't really fully understand the amount of time that took place between these two sayings, but we do know that John records the words "It is finished," and it, as I mentioned as well, ends with Christ's death. People say, "Well, isn't there a contradiction? Aren't these both then the last sayings?" Well, no, these are not contradictions. These are two sayings that both occurred within a minute of Christ dying, recorded by two different individuals, and one simply chose not to mention one. We're going to read this morning Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, and we'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. If you're able to stand, we'll read verses 46 of Luke chapter 23. And the Bible says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us to be here today. And as we consider the final saying of Christ, the final words that he spoke as he was in his earthly body, Lord, each and every one of these sayings that we've seen are so significant and so important. Each one of them is powerful. And God, as we look into this one today, as we look into this final spoken sentence, by our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that we would truly understand your will and your ways. So blessed for your glory, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. This particular verse here is a quote from the Old Testament in Psalms chapter 31 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." On February 15th, 1921, in New York City, the operating room of the Kane Summit Hospital, a doctor is performing an appendectomy. In many ways, the events leading to the surgery are uneventful. The patient has complained for several weeks of severe abdominal pain. The diagnosis is clear, an inflamed appendix. Evan O'Neill Kane is performing the surgery. In his distinguished 37-year medical career, he has performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies, so surgery will be uneventful in all ways except for two. The first novelty of this operation, it was the use of a local anesthetic in major surgery. Dr. Kane is a crusader against the hazards of general anesthesia. He contends that the local application is far safer. Many of his colleagues agree with him in the principle, but in order for them to agree in practice, they will have to see the theory applied. Dr. Kane searched for a volunteer, a patient who was willing to undergo surgery while under local anesthesia. But a volunteer is not easy to be found. Many are squeamish at the thought of being awake during their own surgery. Others are fearful that the anesthesia might wear off too soon. Eventually, however, Dr. Kane finds a candidate. On Tuesday morning, February 15th, the historic operation occurs. The patient is prepped and wheeled into the operating room. A local anesthetic is applied. And as he has done thousands of times, Dr. Kane dissects the superficial tissues and locates the appendix. He skillfully excises it, and concludes the surgery. And during the procedure, the patient complains of only minor discomfort. The volunteer is taken into post-op, then placed in a hospital ward. He recovers quickly and is dismissed 2 days later. Dr. Kane has proven his theory. Thanks to the willingness of a brave volunteer, Kane demonstrated that local anesthesia was a viable and even preferable alternative to the general anesthetic. But I said that there were two facts that made the surgery unique. I told you the first, the use of local anesthesia. The second is the patient, the courageous candidate for surgery by Dr. Kane was Dr. Kane. To prove his point, Dr. Kane operated on himself. A wise move, the doctor became a patient in order to convince the patients to trust the doctor. The Eye of the Storm. When we think about trusting the doctor, when we think about putting ourselves in the hands of an individual, Jesus Christ here was trying to maybe prove to the world that he was about to be put into good hands. He was in good hands, and he says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And as God's people, we must, with utmost commitment and unwavering faith, be able to trust God. Amen? Now, we look at that surgery there, and most of us would probably say, you know what, I could barely handle surgery. I could probably very likely go into a surgery with a local anesthesia because I would pass out and I'd be unconscious anyways because I wouldn't really like that too much. But the thought of actually doing major surgery on yourself is an incredible thing to contemplate in our minds. But when we consider putting ourselves into the hands of another individual, where our very life, our very existence would be on the line, if you will. I have told people before, and they said they needed a tooth pulled. I volunteered to pull their tooth. Can't get a volunteer. They've needed some surgery done. I volunteered to pull toenails. I volunteered to do lots of things, and people they don't seem to be willing to put their confidence and faith and trust in my hands, especially when it comes to surgery. And I probably would agree with them that that's probably not the best thing to do. The offer is obviously only tongue-in-cheek, if you will, when making that offer. But when we think about it, how many times a day do we put our lives, in the hands of other people? And here the Lord Jesus Christ is about to die. And as the group of individuals who was standing there in earshot, able to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, those that heard it, and God has recorded it for us in the Bible, Jesus Christ, before he died, said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Jesus Christ was putting all the eggs in the one basket. He was putting his faith and trust, unwavering trust, unquestionable faith in God the Father. We looked at these first six sayings. We've seen a lot about forgiveness. Each of the sayings is almost an allegory of some aspect of salvation. First, we saw Jesus Christ saying, "Father, forgive them." And of course, we know that forgiveness is the key to salvation. To have Christ, have God forgive us of our sins. And then we find Jesus Christ saying, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And that is where an individual accepted the offer of forgiveness and God's promise to bring us to paradise, that we would be in heaven with him forever and forever and forever. And then we see the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Woman, behold thy son, and also behold thy mother." And there we see Jesus Christ showing us the truths about adoption, about us becoming the children of God, the sons of God. You know, there's no such thing as a universal fatherhood of God. We are not born into God's family. But when we're saved, when we become a child of God, we can now cry, "Abba, Father." And we have the privilege, listen, brothers and sisters, we have the great privilege of being able to call God our Father. Amen? That is a great privilege. That is a great responsibility. To be a child of the King. Jesus Christ's next words were, "I thirst," showing us our need and our desire for spiritual thirst. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, was for the first time in all eternity separated from God. And if anyone here this morning has ever been in the place where we know that our fellowship with God is broken, it's a lonely place. And it is when we come to that place, it is when we come to the place of God turning his back on us, and where that fellowship is broken, where we should be thirsty and desiring the things of God, and desiring the spiritual things, and desiring to be restored into fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ gives us that picture in those words. And then last week we saw those wonderful words where Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." And again, the Greek word there meaning paid in full. God, through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, paid the price, paid the debt, paid all that we owe God. And now after 6 hours, Jesus Christ is about to die. His earthly ministry was finished. And the task that he came to accomplish had come to an end. And now we see Jesus Christ committing himself to the Father, realizing that it was only the Father, who could be worthy of such trust. In Luke, there, "Father," he says, "into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost, or gave up his spirit. And there are three things, and I got three really short points here this morning. Three things that I want us to notice about this verse here. I want you to notice something that is, I think, very important as we've gone through these sayings of God. The first thing that Jesus Christ said was, "Father, forgive them." He called God Father. But we notice a little later on, when Jesus Christ is crying out to God, when God had turned his back on him, he didn't call him Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And at that point, God was no longer his Father. God was his judge. And God was pouring the judgment upon him. But now we notice Christ once again is calling him Father. The relationship was restored. And Christ once again was in fellowship with God. The second thing I want us to notice here is the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave up his spirit. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about the arrest of Jesus Christ, and we looked at the events that took place revolving around the betrayal of Judas. We saw some verses where Jesus Christ said, "No man taketh my life from me, I give my life." You know, Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross. Jesus Christ could have called 10,000 angels. He could have spoken those words as we saw this morning, "I am he," that caused over 600 soldiers and officers to fall backwards onto the ground. 600 plus soldiers were thrown to the ground by Christ's words. And in doing that, Christ showed not only those individuals, but he showed us today that Christ was God. Christ was Jehovah. And Christ could have destroyed those men and walked away free, walked away and lived his life. But he voluntarily surrendered and went to the cross. Jesus Christ is not only affirming that here, when the Bible says he gave up his spirit, I think the implication is clear that Christ not only surrendered to go to the cross willfully, but he died willfully as well. He gave it up. No one took his life from him. Thirdly, notice the complete confidence, and this is what we want to see today. The complete confidence that Jesus Christ has in his Father. Jesus now reposes in death in total confidence and faith in his Father to raise him up on the third day. Jesus' faith in his Father points us to the only means whereby we can have our sins forgiven. We need to be in a right relationship with God. We need to be part of His forever family, adopted into His family. We live eternally with God in heaven by faith. And this is the great picture of faith. We can't be saved unless we say, "Into Thy hands I commend my spirit." We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Paul said it so well, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 89. Faith in the Bible. Faith talks about trust. We need to put our trust in God. We need to put our faith and our trust and belief in God, that Christ and what He did was sufficient and able to save us. There's no Christ's death plus some works, not Christ's death plus a little bit of this, not Christ's death plus church membership or anything else. We must put all of our trust into the hands of our God. You know, there's a lot of people trusting in this world in something to get them to heaven. And I've said this before, I don't believe there's anybody out there who is honestly an atheist. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've met lots of atheists before." Well, they may tell you they're atheists. But I believe that everybody in this world knows that there's a God. I believe that. Everybody knows there's a God. But someone who may be trying to live the life of an atheist, somebody who's religious. We have a lot of religion. The world is filled with religious people. And if you were, excuse me, if you were to look out into this world and you were to begin to ask people, "What are you trusting in? Whose hands have you put your spirit? In whose hands are you trusting?" And you know, if you went around and you began to ask people what they're trusting, what they have put their hands into, you're going to find all kinds of different answers. But you know what? The most common answer would be myself. You're saying, "Well, what do you mean by that, preacher?" Well, you know what? If you're not trusting in God, you're trusting yourself. Well, I believe that I've been a good enough person. I believe that I've gone to church all my life. I believe that I've been kind to my neighbors, and I've only had road rage 10 times this year. You know, I've done all of these things. And if you were to look around at all the other people in Wasaga Beach, you know, I'm a pretty good person. So I think I'm putting myself, my hands in myself. I'm doing surgery on myself. And then we have people that say, "Well, you know, I think you can get there if you keep the Ten Commandments." So you're putting all of you're putting your faith, you're putting your trust in you again. You've got to keep the Ten Commandments. It's all about you, all about what you do. I've asked so many people over the years who told me that, "Oh yeah, I think you get there, keep the Ten Commandments." "Can you name some for me?" Well, usually, I had one guy actually get 4. And I think that's probably the most. Now go home and try it. See how many you can get. Hopefully, we'll do a little better than 4. So I say, listen, you're trusting. You're putting all of your faith. You're commending your spirit in you carrying out these Ten Commandments. And you only know 4. Boy, I'm glad you're not doing surgery on yourself. Amen? I don't think that surgery would go too well. Ask people, "Well, what are you doing? What are you trusting? What are you putting your trust in to get you to heaven?" People say, "Well, you know, I've been baptized. I've gone through all of the rituals. I've done the sacraments. I go to Mass and I take the wafer every Sunday, and I'm receiving Jesus when I take the wafer, and I'm doing and I'm doing and I'm doing and I'm doing. and it's all about you again. You know, there's not a religion in this world. There's not a religion in this world other than biblical, and I like to get that in there, biblical Christianity, where we're not putting our faith and trust in ourselves. Every religion in the world, it's up to you. It's in your hands. It's in our hands. It's in every. It's in your hands to get you to heaven. This last saying on the cross is so important because Jesus is saying to the world, listen, you need to put your trust in me. You need to put your faith and trust in me. Jesus Christ didn't say, hey, I've been a good person. Hey, I've been sinless. Hey, you know what? I think I've done enough. I gone. Not only did I go to church, I started the church. He still put his faith and trust in God. And he shows us unquestionably, that we are saved by faith. We are saved by putting our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Paul says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. John chapter 5 and verse 47, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, trusts me, anyone who will put their faith and trust in me, in my hands, the Bible goes on to say, hath everlasting life. And I love that word. Amen? I love that word, not might have everlasting life. Not possibly if you get baptized. Not possibly if you, you know, live your life and never have a spiritual hiccup and, you know, get out of church for a couple of days or months or years or never have a bad thought. The Bible says that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, put your faith, put your life in His hands, you have everlasting life. Amen? Man, come on, that's enough to make a Mennonite shout. Amen? I believe in a physician when I put my case into the physician's hands. I trust him to cure me. I believe in a lawyer when I leave my case in his hands. I trust him to plead for me. I believe in a banker when I put my money into his hands and allow him to keep that on my behalf. But I believe in my Savior. And when I take Him to be my Savior, when I put my helpless case into His hands and trust Him and Him alone to do what I cannot do myself, and that is to save me from my sins, we have everlasting life. You believe. That there is such a person as Jesus Christ. You know, if you were to ask the world, the majority of people in the world, do you believe that Jesus existed? They would tell you, yes. Does that mean you're saved because you believe in Jesus? No, it doesn't. You're doing well to believe that He existed. But that's only partial, or should I say incomplete faith. To believe that a certain doctor exists that is able to perform surgery on you. If he can do it on himself, he can do it on me. But it's one thing to say, I believe that doctor exists. But it's another thing to say, I'm going to put my life in his hands. And I'm going to commit myself to him. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that say, you know, I believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world that are worshiping Jesus and going to church in the name of Jesus and doing mighty works in the name of Jesus, but they're not going to make it because they've never put themselves in His hands. You know, you may be here this morning. Maybe you believe that Jesus exists. Maybe you've come to church. Maybe you've read your Bible. Maybe you've done this and maybe you've done that. Maybe you've even been baptized. But if you've never put your hand, your life story in His hands, and put that unwavering, unquestioning trust in what He can do, then you're not saved. When I say what He can do, I should say what He has done. We've seen these seven sayings on the cross. Each one of them is full of truth, but each one of them is very and extremely personal. When we stop and look at them, and when we stop and consider them and ponder them, they are very personal. But my question is this morning, is Jesus Christ to you personal? You see, you have to trust Him personally. He died for the sins of the world. But you still need to personally trust Him. Every one of us is responsible to put our life in His hands. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously." I'm going to ask you one simple question this morning. Have you committed yourself to Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust, unquestioning, unwavering trust in what Christ has done? And my prayer this morning is, if you're here and you've never done that, Christ has given us the example when He commended His Spirit into the hands of the Father. You know what? Listen, I'm just going to conclude with this. I joke about sometimes doing surgery on people, and I'll guarantee this, I would never do surgery on myself. If I need my appendix out, I would not be doing it myself. How many of you would do that yourself? No. See, I'd pass out before I even got the scalpel down to my skin. Why is it that we would not do something like that, but we are so willing to put our salvation in our own hands? You know, God's hands are a lot better than ours. Amen? His hands are a lot better than ours. So put your faith and trust in His hand. Don't try and do the surgery yourself. Trust Him this morning. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here today. And Lord God, as we think about what Jesus Christ has done for us, when we think about the fact that He suffered for those long hours on that cross, as God the Father turned His back on God the Son, and for those dark hours on the cross, the sins of the world were poured upon Him, and God the Father as judge put it all on Him. But Lord, You've given us such a wonderful picture here of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that all the sins of the world have been paid for. But we need to put our trust in Him. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings and Your goodness and all of these wonderful, incredible sayings. With everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed this morning, could you, with an upraised hand, say, "Pastor, I know that I put my life in the hands of God. I put my trust in Him. I know I'm saved." Amen. Thank you for those hands. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you. Amen. Again, would you be here and could you, with an upraised hand, just say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. I know that I've never done that. I believed in Jesus, but I've never put my trust in Him." I've been trusting in what I've been doing. I've been doing it on my own. And would you pray for me? Just quickly slip your hand up. Nobody's looking. I'll pray for you. The pastor prayed for me. I need to be saved. Would you be here then as a Christian and maybe just say, Pastor, I've never really considered the depth of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to be more thankful for what Christ has done. Be willing to tell others of this good news. Say, would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are again grateful. We're grateful for what you've done. We're grateful for those hours on the cross. 7 sayings in 6 hours. Lord, you've chosen your words carefully. And they're important personal words, full of truth and meaning. And Lord, it was concluded with an invitation of faith to trust. I thank you for those that were able to raise the hand today in that testimony of saving faith in their lives. And I do pray if there is one person here, if there's someone or others, maybe it's more, maybe there's 4 or 5, I don't know, that have never done it, never trusted Christ, never put themselves in his hands. I pray that they would do that today. And thank you for those that raise the hands. Lord, we sometimes just don't really consider the price that it was free to us, but the cost to our Savior. And what he did for us is truly unbelievable and unfathomable. And so blessed for your glory as we open this altar this morning, I pray that you would just again speak to hearts. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together as we sing.